ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 38. Itam Nri Tiryak Rishi,
Rishi
Deva,
Deva
Jasha,
Jasha
Avatarai,
Avatarai
Lokan,
Lokan
Vibhavas, Vibhavayasi,
Vibhavayasi
Hamsi,
Hamsi
Jagat,
Jagat
Pratipan,
Pratipan
Dharmam,
Dharmam
Mahapurusha,
Mahapurusha
Pasi,
Pasi
Yuga,
Yuga
Anuvrittam,
Anuvrittam
Chana,
Chana
Kalau,
Kalau
Yat,
Yat
Abhava,
Abhava
Triyuga,
Triyuga
Atta,
Atta
Sa,
Sa
Tvam,
Tvam
Itam Rittirya Rishideva Jasana Vata Lokan vibhavayasi hamsa jagat pratipan
Lokan vibhavayasi hamsi jagat pratipan
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Dharmam
Chana kalo yad abhavas triyogatasas tvam
Chana kalo yad abhavas triyogatasas
tvam Itam nitirya grishi deva jasavatarair
Itam
Lokan vibhavayasi hamsa jagat pratipan
Lokan vibhavayasi hamsi jagat pratipan
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Channa kalo yad abhavas Triyugo tasatvam
Channa kalo yad abhavas Triyugo tasatvam
Itam nitirya grishi deva jasavatarair
Itam nitirya grishi deva jasavatarair
Lokan vibhavayasi hamsa jagat pratipan
Lokan vibhavayasi hamsi jagat pratipan
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Channa kalo yad abhavas Chiyugo tasatvam
Sarna talo yatavasi yugo tasatvam
Itam ritirya grishideva jasavatarair Lokan vibhavayasiham sa jagat pratipan
Lokan vibhavayasiham si jagat pratipan
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganu vrittam
Channa kalo yad abhavas Chiyugo tasatvam
Sanna kalo yatavas Chiyugo tasatvam
Itam
Itam
In this way
Ri
Like a human being
Like a human being
Such as Lord Krishna
Such as Lord Krishna
And Lord Ramachandra Tiryak,
like animals,
such as the boar,
Rishi,
as a great saint,
Parasuram,
Deva,
as demigods,
Jasha,
as an aquatic,
such as the fish and tortoise,
Avatarai,
by such different incarnations,
Lokan,
all the different planetary systems. Vibhavayasi,
you protect.
Hamsi,
you sometimes kill.
Jagat Pratipan,
persons who have simply created trouble in this world.
Dharmam. The principles of religion.
Mahapurusha.
O great personality. Pasi. You protect.
Yuga.
Anuvrittam. According to the different millenniums. Chana. Covered. Kalo.
In the age of Kali.
Yat.
Since.
Abhava.
Have been.
And will be in the future. Triyuga.
Named Triyuga.
Ata.
Therefore.
Sa.
The same personality.
Tvam.
You.
Translation. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, You protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitava, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums: Satya, Treta, Dwarpara, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna, because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga, there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, in many Vedic literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Krishnavarnam tvisa krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yagyai sankirtana prayair yajanti hi sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates such as Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedasa, a person with substantial intelligence. Hare Krishna. So we welcome you all on the most auspicious day of Sri Gaur Purnima. It is such a significant day. The appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so significant that we cannot even begin to fathom its import. The whole material universe is in darkness. Of course, physically it is in darkness. Only the sun illuminates it. Otherwise, by nature, it is dark. And people who come into the material world are born in ignorance, and so they are in darkness. And especially after the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna, the world gradually fell deeper and deeper into darkness. So where would we be now were it not for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We would be in darkness. In fact, where would we be without Srila Prabhupada? If Srila Prabhupada had not brought the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement throughout the world, where would we be? In darkness. But the source of all of the light is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, and Srivas Pandit. From Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come the six Goswamis, and all the literatures that we cherish and that guide us from the six Goswamis. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Satsandarbhas, and next Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we owe our very existence in Krishna consciousness to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, today is a most wonderful and joyous celebration, because it is the day on which he appeared in this world. He appeared on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, Phalgun Purnima. But it was a time of a lunar eclipse, although it was a full moon night. But the light of the moon was eclipsed by Rahu, according to the Vedic version. But because eclipses are considered inauspicious, people generally take bath in sacred waters and chant the holy names to counteract the inauspiciousness or the contaminating influence of the eclipse. So they keep themselves pure by immersing themselves in the water of the Ganges and chanting the holy names. And so in this circumstance, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Sri Advaita Prabhu had been praying with very loud shouts, offering Ganges water and tulsi leaves to his Shalagram Shila. He had been praying, begging, imploring the Lord to descend. because he could see how people had fallen into darkness. Navadvip had been a great center of learning and devotion, but it had fallen into darkness. People were caste conscious. They were absorbed in rituals and dry knowledge. They had forgotten devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping demigods, and so many things. And although Advaita Acharya is the personality of Godhead himself, he is Mahavishnu, but in the mood of a devotee, as a humble Vaishnav, he felt incapable of delivering the fallen souls from the darkness in which they were enshrouded. And so he prayed to the Lord to descend. I cannot deliver them. You can deliver them. Please come. So, Sri Advaita Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were friends. They were quite elder to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They appeared quite some years before he did. And Sri Advaita Acharya, in his heart, felt great joy. He wasn't sure why, but he felt great joy. And eventually he concluded that, yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had descended to deliver the fallen souls. And Haridas Thakur also understood that the Lord had descended. And thus the two of them danced in great jubilation. And Advaita Acharya gave charity. Of course, it is a religious, ritualistic principle to give charity on the occasion of an eclipse. But Advaita Acharya, although people may have thought he was giving charity because of the eclipse, but actually he was giving charity in jubilation because the Lord had appeared. Of course, it was only much later that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to his confidential devotees that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is part of the Lord's plan. The Lord achieves many purposes through a single action. And this was part of the Lord's plan to conceal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead for various reasons. And therefore, the Lord is known as Triyuga, one who descends in three ages, but not in Kali Yuga. Even the great scholar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri and exhibited symptoms that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could exhibit, but he could not accept that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But his son-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, was a great devotee, and he knew that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself. So they had some discussion, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that the Lord is Triyuga. He appears only in three ages. He does not appear in Kali Yuga. How can you say that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna? And Gopinath Acharya replied that, yes, he is called Triyuga because he does not exhibit himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he does come in Kali Yuga. And he quoted various verses, including the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport, Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishna, Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Vijantihi Samyasa. And this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam also tells us that it's not exactly that the Lord doesn't appear, but he is channa. That means he is covered. He covers his identity. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he covers his identity with the bodily complexion and sentiments of Srimati Radharani. So this is a very significant, momentous occasion for all of us. So I'll read the verse again, and we will discuss. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So the word protect is prominent in this verse. It appears twice. Vibhavayasi, you protect, and Pasi, you protect. So what does it mean to protect? Of course, on the grossest level, it means to protect the devotees physically. For example, when Madhai threw a clay pot on the forehead of Nityananda Prabhu and created a very deep gash, and blood was flowing from the wound, immediately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to protect Nityananda Prabhu. And also, as it is stated here, Hamsi, you kill. But in parentheses, Srila Prabhupada put sometimes, you sometimes kill. Because although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to kill the offenders, Jagai and Madhai, Nityananda Prabhu himself intervened and said that don't kill Jagai, because after striking me, Madhai wanted to attack me even more. But Jagai intervened and he said, don't do this. So Jagai actually defended me, so don't kill him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so much love for Nityananda Prabhu, he loves him more than his own self. So when he heard that Jagai had acted to defend Nityananda Prabhu, he forgave Jagai. But he was still furious with Madhai, and he had called for his Sudarshan Chakra to kill him. And then Madhai fell at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and said, well, you forgave Jagai, you should forgive me too. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not in the mood to forgive him because he has been so offensive. Then Madhai insisted that, you know, Jagai and I have done everything together. All the stealing, all the drinking, all the plundering, all the womanizing, we did everything together. Why should you forgive him and not me? And finally, because of Nityananda Prabhu's desire that the Lord forgive Madhai, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed. He also forgave him and accepted him, accepted both of them as his devotees. And he never again referred to their past sinful activities. Of course, he made them promise never to engage in such activities again. But thereafter, he never referred to their past sinful lives, and he accepted them as his devotees. So this is also a very prominent feature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personality. And that is forgiveness. Forgiveness is essential. Because in Kali Yuga, people are fallen. They are sinful. They are offensive. But if we don't forgive them, what hope do they have? And although there were many offenders to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially when he was known as Nimai Pandit in Navadvip. But after he left Navadvip and came back for a short visit, all the offenders came to him, one after the other, in Kulia. And he forgave them all. even the worst offenders, he forgave them all. So this is part of the process of Krishna consciousness. This is very much part of the Sankirtan movement, to forgive. Kali Yuga is so bad that even people born in high families, Jagaya Matai were born in Brahmin families, they fall down, they engage in sinful activities, they attack devotees physically or verbally, in to their faces or behind their backs. But we have to be ready to forgive them all. And that will be good for us as well. This topic of forgiveness is very important. Pretty much any devotee who has been in the association of devotees for some time will feel that he has been hurt or offended or abused by some other devotee. So what to do with that feeling? It's something that we all have to consider. I discussed this topic with Tamal Krishna Goswami and with His Holiness Sridhar Swami. And of course both agreed that that we should forgive. But there was a slight difference of approach between the two of them. I explained to Tamal Krishna Goswami that I had had an experience of a sense of universal forgiveness. It was a general sense, and then I thought of individuals, and just one after the other, forgave them, let it go, until I got to one person. And it just wasn't coming in my heart to forgive him and let it go. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said that the reason is that the person is still continuing. The others have stopped whatever they were doing, and so you can forgive them. But the one, he's still continuing. So it's natural that you don't forgive him. And then I had the same discussion with our god brother Sridhar Swami Maharaj, and he said, no, you must forgive all, universally and absolutely. And he quoted a verse from the Bible, or paraphrased a verse from the Bible, that if you do not forgive others, how can you expect God to forgive you? And that really made me think that we all want God to be merciful to us. We all want the Lord and the devotees to understand us, to understand that even if we made some mistake, ultimately we do want to be devotees, we do want to serve them, and we want them to consider our overriding good intentions and forgive us for our mistakes committed in ignorance or out of foolishness or out of a temporary mental condition. So if we want that sort of generous consideration from the Lord and the Vaishnavas, should we not also have that same generous mood in relation to others? Of course, we should. And that is very important. Yes, it's important for both. It's important for the person who's forgiven to be forgiven, but it's also important for the person who forgives to forgive. Otherwise, he's keeping within his heart some bad feelings towards a devotee, and that's very bad for us. To harbor bad feelings towards a devotee. So forgiving is necessary for our advancement, both the person who's doing the forgiving and the person who's being forgiven. That said, we should by all means avoid that unfortunate situation of offending a devotee. And a lot of offenses are influenced by association. Well, two things: slackness in one's spiritual practices and by bad association. Bad association means association that encourages one, either explicitly or implicitly, to commit offenses. In Santa Barbara, a lady who would sometimes come to our ashram, and she was paid to do some work at the ashram, a Hispanic lady. Her daughter, beautiful, intelligent, qualified, hardworking, humble daughter, at the age of 20 years, drowned in a swimming pool. It was just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And so there was a memorial service in the Catholic Church, and I felt I should attend. I just felt it would mean a lot to the family. And it was a big family. I knew many of the family members. So I went, and most of the service was in Spanish. There was a sort of elder priest and a younger priest. But at one stage, one of the priests began to speak in English, and he was clearly addressing the younger people in the audience. And he told them, well, one thing he said was that he was very pleased that so many members of the community had turned out in such large numbers for the program, memorial program. There were a lot. I mean, I don't know, but there were several hundred people I mean, it was a great show of strength and support in the community. So he said, but this should not be the end of it, you know, even after all the last rites and ceremonies are performed, you should still stay in touch with the family. They'll continue to need your support, you know, moral support, emotional support, physical support. So you should keep, you shouldn't think of them only now, but you should continue to think of them and fold them, come by, visit them, see if they need anything. And then he addressed the younger people, and he said that it is very important to choose your friends carefully. He said a friend should be someone who stands by you through thick and thin, you know, that you can reveal your mind to and who will hear you. And a friend should also give you the right advice. And he said that, yes, this is another point, he said that you should not think that because you know English better than your parents, or you know the ways of America better than your parents, that you don't have to respect your parents or obey your parents. You know, they're your parents. They have your best interest in mind. So you should respect them and obey them. Doesn't matter that you know better English than they do, or that you know more about the ways of modern American society than they do. And then he said, that you have to be very careful about the friends that you choose. If you accept someone as a friend who tells you, oh, you don't have to listen to your parents. What do they know? They don't understand the way things are. Now, that's not a friend. If they encourage you to do things that you know are wrong, I think in that context he may have said it or may not have said it, but he definitely meant things like taking drugs, taking intoxicants, just different things that you know are wrong. If that person encourages, yeah, let's do it, you know. What's the wrong? Who's going to know? And who, even if they find out, what can they do? That is not a friend. So we have to be very careful about the friends we choose. They should be real friends. They should stand by us through thick and thin. Not that they're there when we're prospering and then they're nowhere to be found when we're struggling. But they should also give us good advice. And that is part of protecting ourselves, keeping good association. This is explained in metaphorical terms in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Vata Beach. There are so many living entities wandering and so many different planetary systems, so many different universes. But one who is fortunate by the mercy of Guru and Krishna will get the seed of devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya explains that when you get the seed, you should become a gardener. Mali. And you should plant that seed in your heart. You should water it by chanting and hearing. And you should be vigilant and look for weeds. And if any weeds come up, you should pull out the weeds. So the water is the chanting and hearing about Krishna. The weeds are material desires. We have to always be careful about material desires. If any material desires sprout out, we have to identify them and pull them out. And then he said, and you have to fence in the garden to protect it from a mad elephant, this Hatimata, mad elephant of Vaishnava Aparad. If there is, you may have a very carefully tended garden. Of course, in Houston now we don't find elephants roaming about. But in a certain context, you could have a very well-tended garden. But if a maddened elephant comes in, he can like stampede and trample all the plants and pull out the beautiful flowering plants. So that is like the greatest disaster. That is the greatest affront. So that is Vaishnava Aparad. He said you have to build a fence to keep out the mad elephant of Vaishnava Aparad. Now what is the fencing? Srila Prabhupada explains that the fencing is the circle of pure devotees, that you have to stay in the circle of pure devotees, and that will protect you from Vaishnava Aparad. Now this can be a very tricky question. Because what if you have family members who aren't pure devotees? What if you have community members who are not pure devotees? What if you have to go to school with people who are not pure devotees? What if you have to work in the office or the shop? Factory or the hospital with people who are not pure devotees. Now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that avoiding the association of non-devotees or mixed devotees does not mean that in the workplace or in the family that we shun them. No, we don't shun them. We can have normal, polite, friendly interactions with them. But we should not discuss spiritual topics with them. Because when it comes to spiritual topics, they will give us bad advice. In fact, there, sometimes if it's very intimate family, you can't avoid it. And there's a verse here in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter about ideal family life, which says that if a family member advises you not to be so involved in Krishna consciousness, but to spend more time and energy on materialistic pursuits, that outwardly you should agree and say, yes, you are right. But inwardly, you should maintain your conviction that Krishna consciousness is the goal of life, and that I should do whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is not. So that is there. We have, you know, we want to keep sort of superficial, congenial relationships. But we should not reveal our minds to them about our spiritual lives, and we should not take their advice about spiritual life. And I've seen it in families. It happens that one member will have some negative feelings towards devotees. And that person will be very open about expressing them. And you know, it could be your daughter. It could be your father. Like, how do you not listen? But if you do listen, there are effects. It's a very, very subtle and intricate question. If you do listen, there are effects. Because hearing offenses, hearing Vaishnava aparadha, hearing sadhu ninda, it affects you. Even if with your intelligence you don't want it to affect you, but it will affect you. And therefore, the shastras give very strong admonitions in relation to sadhu ninda or Vaishnava aparadha. There was the case of Sati and her father, Daksha. Daksha became offensive towards Lord Shiva. Daksha was proud. That's pride is very much related to this whole issue. He was proud. And he thought that Lord Shiva was not respecting him properly as a father-in-law. And so he blasphemed Lord Shiva. You may know the story in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Shiva left the place. And there is an injunction in this history that if someone blasphemes a Vaishnav, you should not just meekly listen to it, but you should, if you're able to, you should defeat the other person in argument, or you should leave the place or you should give up your life. Now, in the case of giving up your life, it could actually be a good idea. Don't take it in the wrong way. But in the sense that if you give up this body, what is the body? The body is just dress. And having been exposed to that type of blasphemy, your spiritual life will be affected. So why not just give up the body? You'll get another body anyway, and then you can start fresh. But in the case of a Brahmin, there are injunctions. One should not take the life of a Brahmin, even if you're the Brahmin. And if your body is dedicated to the service of the Lord, like Srila Sanatana Goswami, he had thought of committing suicide, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, your body is, you've given your body to me, your body is meant for my service, you cannot take it back or destroy it. So that option is not practical for us. So then there's two left. One is to defeat the other person, or the other is to leave the place. But if we allow ourselves out of a false sense of a familial relationship or friendship to hear such blasphemy, it will affect us. It can't help but affect you. And so you should not do that. Of course, another approach, and it's not always practical, but another approach is to divert the person who wants to whatever, gossip, or I mean it's gossip, but it's worse than gossip, is to engage them in something more beneficial. Like one devotee approached me. In Dallas, a very nice devotee approached me and said that people, somehow devotees like to come to her. Somehow they trust her. And they want to reveal their minds to her. So in the course of revealing their minds to her, they will often tell her about a problem that they're having with another devotee. And then they get into criticizing the other devotee, and she doesn't really want to listen to it. But at the same time, she doesn't want them to feel that, she doesn't care for them, but she just really does not want to hear that because she knows how damaging Vaishnava Aparad is, Sadhu Ninda is. So I suggested, and this was something I have seen His Holiness Radhanath Swami do on many occasions, and that is, you say, you know, I really would like to spend time with you, but whatever, I have to chant my rounds, I have to do my reading, I have to recite my prayers. So if you would like to join me, then we can chant together, we can read together, we can recite prayers together. So you're not rejecting the person, you're expressing your affection and care for the person, but you're avoiding the activity that will not be good for you or the other person. In most cases, it really won't be good for either of you. So, on the Mayapur Yatra, now it's almost 3-4 years ago, with His Holiness Radhana Swami said, like, there's, it's really hard for me because my health is not that strong. And people are always coming up to me. I can't move 10 feet. You know, I can't cross the road without people approaching me, and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, it's not so much that they're approaching you that's the problem, but it's the content of the conversation that's the problem. I mean, it may be innocuous, like, how are you? Do you remember me? But it's like, it takes energy, like, one after the other after the other. In fact, one God brother was thinking of having a t-shirt made saying yes, my health is all right, yes, I remember you, yes, I wish you all the best in Krishna consciousness. Even Srila Prabhupada complained about that sort of, of course, to preach you have to be humble. I mean, you really cannot preach unless you're humble. So Srila Prabhupada, he complained that, because he would have a regular darshan time every afternoon, say like 4 to 5:30 or whatever. But after a while, and he'd always talk about Krishna. I mean, of course, he would always talk about Krishna. But sometimes people would come to him and make small talk. And so he was complaining, and he even gave the example of Aurobindo, that Sri Aurobindo, he only gave darshan once a year. He would come out on his balcony and give darshan once a year. He's saying, I think I should do this. I have to write my books. I spend so much time. He said, people come to me and they say, Swamiji, how is your health? And Prabhupada said, anyone can see my health is not good. But they come and say, Swamiji, how is your health? And it's just wasting my time. So maybe I should do like Aurobindo. I'll just give darshan once a year. So, you know, we were always in the mood to support Prabhupada and whatever he wanted. But they said, no, if I do that, people will say, oh, Swamiji's puffed up now. He has no time for us. So then Prabhupada said, I can't do it now, but when we open the new temple, then, you know, my position will change, and then, you know, then I can do it. So, yeah, it's sort of a hardship, this wasting time. I mean, this is sort of innocuous compared to blaspheming devotees, but even then it's a hardship. So Radhana Swami advised me, you know, if anyone comes up and wants to talk to you, especially problems, that's, after the niceties, they usually come out with their problems. So Radhana Swami said, You do, I'm here for Krishna Katha. So if you want to discuss Krishna Katha, I would be very happy, but I'm not in a position to, you know, listen to your problem right now, and, you know, something like that. So it requires some alertness, not to fall into wasting time with prajalpa and what to speak of sadhu ninda. But at the same time, we don't want to offend our family members, our friends, our fellow devotees. But ultimately, if we have to choose between friends and family and Krishna, if we're serious about the goal of human life, we have to choose Krishna. I mean, just imagine Arjuna. What we're discussing is maybe not spending time with family members or friends whose offensiveness is so great that we can't change them, and we can't stop them from speaking what they want to say. Then we have to choose Krishna. And it's very interesting because here in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the history of Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyakasipu took it that Prahlad had been spoiled. It's just the opposite. That Prahlad had been spoiled by the association of Vaishnavas. He had become a Vaishnav, a devotee of Vishnu, and Hiranyakasipu took it that Vishnu is his enemy because he killed his brother, Hiranyaksha, as the boar incarnation. So Hiranyakasipu said that just like a limb of your body, if it is infected with gangrene, you have to amputate it. Because if you don't amputate it, that disease will spread through the body. And you'll lose more and more of your body until ultimately the disease can kill you. So this principle is correct. It's just that Hiranyakasipu applied it as a demon would apply it, whereas we want to apply it as a devotee would apply it. But according to his vision, Prahlad had been contaminated or spoiled by the association of Vaishnavas, and therefore he had become a Vaishnava. He'd become an enemy, he'd become a threat. So instead of letting him pollute the whole dynasty, kill him, and use the logic of amputation. Now, it may happen the other way, that someone becomes infected with envy of Vaishnavas or Vaishnava Parad, whatever you say, envy of Vishnu. And it may be like that, that they that their presence will infect, you know, the rest of the community. And so it's better to cut them. I'm not talking about killing them, but to cut their association because we will not be able to elevate them, but they may contaminate us. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant when he said that you have to fence in your devotional creeper so no mad elephants can enter the garden and destroy it. That means we have to stay in the circle of pure devotees. Pure devotees, by definition, will not engage in sadhu-ninda or aparad. And usually that criticism of devotees is a result of frustrated material desires. You know, people come to Krishna consciousness, they become devotees or try to become devotees, but they have material desires. And in the association of the other devotees, if their material desires are not fulfilled, if they feel their material desires are being thwarted by the other devotees, they criticize. It's so intricate. But that's why being in the association of pure devotees who do not have material desires is safe. And so this protection is very deep. You know, protecting a devotee means protecting a devotee from their own bad tendencies and protecting them from the association of people who will encourage their bad tendencies. So sometimes, you know, building a fence means drawing the line, you know, like that. Lakshman Rekha, you know, don't cross this line. If you cross this line, you could be in danger. So it's hard, especially in today's modern liberal society, like, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, you know, everything is okay. Like Prabhupada said, you know, some holy men, so-called holy men in India, say, I'm okay, you're okay. Prabhupada said, no. We say, yes, I'm okay, but you're not okay. But of course, we have to know when to say it, how to say it. Don't necessarily say it in those terms, but underneath it all, that's our position, if we are properly situated, that is our position. So giving protection means protecting them from their ignorance, from their illusions, from their misconceptions, from bad association, from so many things. That's protection. That's what a parent or guardian does. I mean, if you have a child, you just can't let the child run amok. There's a certain stage in which a child will put anything in its mouth. You can't just let the child pick up dirty things and experiment, see what it tastes like, and, you know, get sick. So our minds are like children. They're like naughty children, always going here and there, wanting to play with this, play with that. So we have to discipline the mind and draw limits. No, you can't just put that in your mouth. And for devotees, a lot of it is you can't just let that go in your ear. It's It's not allowed because you'll get sick. It will hurt you. It can affect you. But whatever we've done, this is the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's magnanimity, whatever we've done, if we sincerely repent and resolve to give it all up and sincerely take shelter of his mercy and instructions, mercy means merciful instructions, he will accept us. I mean, this is like the most wonderful thing. I mean, we might offend someone and we might repent and we might approach them to forgive us, but they might not forgive us. I mean, officially or formally they might, but within their hearts they might not, for whatever reason. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, so magnanimous. Odarya, that is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Odarya, magnanimity, generosity, benevolence. He will forgive us. And as servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, aspiring devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should have that mood. And that will be the best thing for everyone. And then the movement will grow. People don't want to see, factions, party politics. They see that in the material world. They don't want to see that when they come looking for spiritual life. Somehow, I mean, it's not easy. Somehow, we have to let go of all this stuff and really work in a united way. Of course, sometimes it's difficult because there's differences of opinion. We may all have the same goal, to serve Krishna, to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to serve Srila Prabhupada, but we may have different ideas of how to do it. And this was brought up to Srila Prabhupada in his very last days when he was lying on his bed in Vrindavan. One Gaudiya Vaishnav met him and told him that you should tell your disciples that after you leave, they should work without any personal interest, and they should not fight. And Srila Prabhupada was very ill, very weak, but he sort of moved his arm and he said, don't fight. I've given directions in my books. So if our intentions are good, if our intention is just to serve Guru and Gauranga, there may be differences amongst us about how best to serve them. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't fight. I've given directions in my books. So that's our guidance. Of course, there are a lot of things in Prabhupada's books. And devotees can find things in Prabhupada's books to support a particular position, which may not actually be what Prabhupada wanted. like they say, the devil can cite scripture for his own purposes. So when we read Prabhupada's books, we should do so in the right frame of mind, which is that we are coming to Srila Prabhupada for guidance and direction. If we come with the attitude, I already know what I want to do, let me just find something in there that will support what I want to do, and then I can quote it and say, see, Srila Prabhupada said, I'm just doing what Srila Prabhupada said. No. We should come to his books with an open heart and an open mind. I'm a fool. Please guide me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed that example with his spiritual master. Guru More Murki Deki Kari Lashashana. He said, my spiritual master saw me as a fool and he chastised me. So Srila Prabhupada said that should always be the mood of the disciple, that he should always feel himself to be a fool before the spiritual master and be ready to be chastised by him. And as soon as you think you know more than the spiritual master, you're fallen. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed by his example. So when we approach Srila Prabhupada's instructions or our own spiritual master's instructions, we should do so in the proper mood of a disciple, that I'm a fool. I do not really know what to do and what not to do. You guide me. And in that way, if we approach the spiritual master, if we approach Srila Prabhupada's books, if we approach the scriptures, we will get guidance. We will get guidance. Srila Prabhupada's books are living. Not just dead, some ink on a page, they're living. So many devotees can attest to the fact that they've received guidance from Prabhupada's books just at the moment they needed it. They were looking for guidance. They were desperate for guidance, and they got it from the books or from a Vaishnava, from the deities, from the holy name. Krishna's ready to give us guidance, but we have to want it. And for that, we need to be in a humble mood. If we think, oh, I'm very intelligent, I'm very expert, everyone says, you know, I'm so intelligent and so expert, then you won't get the guidance, because you already think you're very intelligent and expert. But if you think like Mahaprabhu, you know, I don't know anything. My Guru Maharaj told me I'm a fool. I should not study Vedanta. I should just chant the holy name. So I'm doing what my spiritual master told me. It's very simple. So Srila Prabhupada said it. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. So, and it's, you can see, it is difficult. So, but if we become simple, really, really are like open slates. You know, whatever I knew before, whatever, like, you know, Dante Nidaya Chitakam Padayor Nipatya, like, you know, that was all useless because it was minus Krishna. So, of course, yes, we add Krishna. But when we add Krishna, things change. I mean, we say, just do whatever you were doing, but add Krishna. And that's true. That's all they have to do. They have to add Krishna. That's all. But once they add Krishna, things change. Like, we had a devotee in Bombay, a very good devotee preacher. I think he visited here, Mahaprabhu Das. He's a lawyer. So he was a very enthusiastic preacher, and he was always inviting his friends to Juhu, and then he would introduce them to me, and many of them became devotees. Many of those like stalwart devotees at Chopati now, they came from Juhu originally. So, but there were some people who just would not come. And Mahaprabhu Das told me that they're like too intelligent. Because he would say, just come and have prasad at Govinda's. You don't even have to go to the temple. You don't have to see the deities. You don't have to meet any of the devotees. You don't have to hear any philosophy. Just come and take prasad and go. But they would not come. They were so intelligent. They would not come. They said, this is a one-way street. Once you take one step, no matter how little that step is, once you take that first step, you have to keep going down the one-way street. And then in the end, you know, by their conception, all your material plans will be ruined. So they wouldn't take the smallest step. But that's, if we're simple, that's the way it is. You just begin on the path and you just keep going on the path, and in the end you reach the destination. It is Kali Yuga. Times are hard and association is bad, so we might get over-intelligent and think, you know. But even then, we can give up our complicated, imaginative, speculative, over-intelligent ideas. Just come back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada. Doesn't necessarily mean to come back in a physical sense. You could very well be living in the community of devotees, but it means in the spiritual sense. It means giving up your false pride, giving up your own independent ideas, and just really accepting the simple process of Krishna consciousness in the direct way. You know, just as it is. So, we'll be speaking again tonight and tomorrow. This is a more intimate group of devotees, so we discuss some of the more intricate issues of devotional service. But the conclusion is that today is the most glorious day. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into this world of darkness. He's brought light. And even if we close our eyes to him or turn away from him, either before meeting his devotees or even afterwards, he's ready to forgive us, like he forgave Jagai and Madhai, and so many offenders, and accept us and engage us. So it's never too late. We should take the opportunity, and especially today. Just on my way here, I met, was it Bhava Bhakti, the Bengali lady? No, who's this? Krishna Bhakti. Yes, Krishna Bhakti. Such a sweet devotee. So such a sweet devotee. So she was in a very humble and happy mood because she addressed Chaitanya Chandra today. And then she quoted a beautiful Bengali verse. Not just quoted it, sang it. Unfortunately, I can't repeat it in Bengali. But the purport was, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please accept me and keep me at your lotus feet. So she was saying, this is my hope, at least on this day. If he hears my prayer, this is my hope. And I'm sure that, anyone who prays with that sincerity and devotion, I mean, Lord Chaitanya is magnanimous by nature, so he wants us to come to him. He wants to keep us near him. We're the ones who wander here and there and get involved with so many other things. But he wants us, so take advantage of this auspicious day and come back to him and pray that he doesn't let us go. That's the thing, the mind is such. But when I first joined, one devotee told me, very nice prayer she used to pray to Krishna, that, please keep me engaged in your service and don't allow me to pursue material desires that are contrary to your service. And then she said, and if later on I pray to you to fulfill my material desires that are not favorable for Krishna consciousness, don't listen to that prayer, but listen to this prayer. And once, it's very interesting, His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami and I went to Spain, and we were given a room to share, and at night, as we were taking rest, he said that I must be sure to wake him up in the morning. And he said, no, it doesn't matter what I say in the morning. In the morning I might say, no, let me sleep some more, 5 more minutes, don't listen to what I say in the morning, but listen to what I'm telling you now. That I want you to wake me up and do whatever it takes to wake me up. Even if you have to throw water on my face, do it. And don't listen to what I say in the morning, just listen to what I say now. So given our chanchala minds and the bad atmosphere of Kali Yuga, we might get influenced again in the wrong direction. We can pray to the Lord, merciful Lord, Gaura Nityananda, to listen to this prayer. And if we come up with any crazy ideas in the future that we come to them with, don't listen to that, but listen to this. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi, Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu ki jāi.